Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special podcast covering Super Bowl 52. My name is John Zagluel, owner and operator of the site. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to break down the matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots, talk about strengths and weaknesses, and then in the end, predict a final winner. We'll also have a special guest with expertise as to who he thinks will win. But first, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags. Also, if you're looking for a place here in the Tinley Park area to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for both adults and children, check out the Arts and Crafts Studio by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. You can visit them at the Tinley Park Downs Shopping Center at 7913 171st Street in Tinley Park, Illinois, or give them a call at 708-247-2100. Again, that's 708-247-2100. Now, before we start off all this talk about the Super Bowl and all of that great stuff, I just want to reflect on both the NFC and AFC championship games. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news here, but I'm pretty pissed off at how this ended up working out. I really wanted the Jaguars to make it, number one, because they haven't made it ever in franchise history, and I guess that streak will continue at least for another year. And then the Vikings, they had a chance to host the Super Bowl. That would have been the first time in history that a team in the Super Bowl would have been able to play at their home stadium. And speaking of that NFC Championship game, I just have to say, what a disappointment. First of all, you have a game that's supposed to be competitive. You have Case Keenum and the Vikings coming off that miracle win against the Saints. Then you've got the Eagles riding the hot hand with Nick Foles, and it turns out to be an entire blowout. I mean, after the first half, I didn't blame anyone if they decided to switch off the game, because who cares at that point? Case Keenum played like his days back with the Rams, in which he was a backup quarterback, and Nick Foles played like his days of yesteryear, back in 2011 when he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and that year he ended up taking over Michael Vick's starting spot and leading the Eagles to the playoffs. So in short, that game was pathetic. The Vikings couldn't channel that magic that they had the week before against the Saints, and the Eagles, meanwhile, played unbelievably well. Their running game was perfect. Blunt, Clement, and Ajayi carrying the load for that offense, and Nick Foles playing like an elite quarterback somehow, which is just crazy to think. But then again, when you look back at history, he technically was an elite quarterback at one point, so it's nice to see him have this resurgence. Maybe that could lead to a starting job next year, a lot of teams needing quarterbacks. And then in the AFC, what a game that was. Came down to the wire, and that's nice considering how horrible that NFC game was. You had the Jaguars, they're winning the entire game, but in the end, once again, Tom Brady somehow pulls a horseshoe out of his butt and wins the game. Now, I'm not going to knock the guy. You know what? This guy is, we are watching, the greatest quarterback of all time right now. He has 5 rings. He could end up getting a 6th, which is just unfathomable in my mind. But still, I'd rather see another team make it than Tom Brady once again. You know, there's a stat tweeted out by ESPN. I'm sure many of you have saw it. Since 2000, I believe, there have only been 4 quarterbacks from the AFC represented in the Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco, and that was that one time with the Ravens, and then Tom Brady 7 times. So that's insane. This guy just finds a way to win. And you know what? Again, you can't knock that. But personally, I would have liked to see a little bit of diversity, a little bit of pizzazz, and a new team in the Super Bowl. And the Jags were primed to do it, even with Blake Bortles, crazy enough. But, you know, in the end, it didn't work out, and we'll see the Patriots and the Eagles once again. And I say once again because, actually, in 2004, the Patriots and Eagles did play in the Super Bowl together. The Patriots ended up winning the game, but the Eagles had a very good team that year. Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb, that was a powerhouse. Of course, they weren't able to win, but still very interesting that we're seeing these two teams in the Super Bowl again 14 years later. Well, now that we've got all that historical stuff out of the way, and I know it's mostly for my own personal benefit, I'm such a history guy, I love looking back at all these relationships and delving into all that. Anyways, we'll move on now, we'll talk about both teams, what they bring to the table. We'll start off with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, they come in as the underdog early. They have Nick Foles right now as their starting quarterback. Now, you might be scratching your head in case you've been under a rock the past couple of weeks. Carson Wentz was the starter and was having an MVP-esque season. He led the team to an 11-2 record in 13 games, passed for nearly 3,300 yards, and had 33 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. Wentz, in his second year in the league, was favored to win MVP even over Tom Brady. Then he had a torn ACL as he dove into the end zone for a touchdown. And by that happening, Nick Foles became the starter. In his 3 starts in the regular season, Foles went 2-1, had 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, but I have to say he has really increased his output in the playoffs, and as I mentioned earlier, showing signs of his 2013 form. In his 2 starts in the playoffs, obviously 2-0, 598 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and an overall QB rating of 122.1. That is MVP-level statistics. That is superstar stats that Foles is putting up. So although the void of Wentz looms in the Eagles' past, Foles is filling it very well, if not even better than Wentz has been doing. We take a look at the running back situation, and they are very similar, by the way, to the Patriots. When we get to the Patriots, you'll notice this, but right now, the Eagles have 3 primary running backs that they have been using. LeGarrette Blount, i.e., former Patriot, he was on the team last year and won a ring. This year, 766 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaging 4.4 yards a carry. Then we have Corey Clement. Now, he has not started in 1 game this season, but still has 321 rushing yards, 4.3 yards per carry, and 4 rushing touchdowns. Clement has been primarily used as the third down back, mostly because of his ability to create chunk yardage. This guy is a guy capable of gaining 5, 6, 7 yards on a third down to convert. And then finally, a new addition who came mid-season via trade, Jay Ajayi. Last year, Ajayi, Pro Bowl running back with the Dolphins. This season, having some troubles getting going. He was doing okay, but his output was better from last year. So the Dolphins assumed, hey, maybe a change of scenery will do him well, and did it ever. Ajayi, with the Eagles in only 7 games, had 408 rushing yards, averaging nearly 6 yards per carry. And with that great production, he has somewhat overtaken LeGarrette Blount's starting spot, and Ajayi most likely will be the starting running back in Super Bowl 52. From a receiving standpoint, the Eagles, very strong as well. They've got Zach Ertz, Pro Bowl tight end, 824 receiving yards this year, 8 touchdowns. Then, as their number one wide receiver, you guessed it, Bears fans, Alshon Jeffery, 789 yards, 9 touchdowns. He has blossomed for this Eagles team, and he has really accepted his role. Maybe his numbers are down a little bit because there are different options for this team, but he has really embraced his role and has done a very good job with the Eagles this year. Then you've got Nelson Agholor, deep threat, 768 yards, 8 touchdowns, and then finally to round it out, Torrey Smith, former 49er, came over this year in a 3-year deal via free agency, 430 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I have to say, this team, when it comes to wide receivers, they are very deep. They've got Jeffery, Agholor, and Smith plus Ertz. That is a very good combination. And you might wonder, hey, why is Nick Foles doing so well? Obviously, it has to do with his own skill set, but it also has to do with the fact that he has got a lot of weapons out there on offense. And that also explains Wentz and how well he did this year, because the Eagles really upgraded in wide receiver personnel compared to his rookie year. And then on the defensive side of things, the Eagles were the best in the NFL in containing the rush. They've only given up 79.2 yards per game in the regular season. Combine that with the fact that they've got Malcolm Jenkins and Fletcher Cox, both Pro Bowl players this year, and the team becomes even more intimidating. Then you look at their turnovers. They forced 31 of them this year, and their defense overall ranked 4th in the NFL, according to ProFootballReference.com. So, yeah, this team's defense is elite, top 5 in the league. And compared to the Patriots, I can tell you right now that the Eagles have a better defensive front. Therefore, when we look at the Eagles as a whole, as a team, they actually will fight and will put up a valiant effort against the Patriots. Who knows? They even might come out with a victory. But after looking at them, let's shift sides, go to the Patriots and start with the obvious. First, we have the fact that they have lost their number one wide receiver, Julian Edelman, and he has been out since the beginning of the year after tearing his ACL. Now, Edelman, a hero in 2016 for the Patriots, making the Super Bowl. He had a great game. And overall on the season, he had 98 catches for over 1,100 yards. So yeah, when you lose your number one wide receiver, it's going to be a big loss. Luckily for the Patriots, they had guys step up. We'll get to them in a minute. Then we have another injury report. Rob Gronkowski, Pro Bowl, All-Pro tight end, who had over 1,000 yards again this year receiving. He had that concussion due to the penalty hit by Barry Church of the Jaguars. So that's going to be a big storyline heading into Super Bowl week. Will he be able to play? Will he clear concussion protocol? So putting that aside for a moment, let's go and look at the Patriots going position by position, starting with the quarterback and the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. Brady this year, age 40 season, still led the league in passing yards, nearly 4,600, 32 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, a QB rating of 102.8. What a year for an age 40 quarterback. And when you compare him to Nick Foles, now Foles, a great year, don't get me wrong, stepping in for Wentz. But in the end, there really is no comparison. Tom Brady is literally the greatest quarterback of all time. He has 5 rings. He's going for a 6th. He's up there on the all-time list. I believe he's 3rd in passing yards. He's right there in touchdowns, right behind Brett Favre. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. So, obviously, the Patriots have an advantage. Even if Brady is 40, even if he was 50, for crying out loud, they would have an advantage because Brady has experience in the playoffs. And, by the way, the amount of experience that he has is sickening. In this Super Bowl, Brady will be starting his 37th career playoff game. 37! That's the equivalent of over 2 seasons of strictly playoff football. There is nobody to compare to with that great of a playoff resume, and because of that, the Patriots have a clear 100% advantage at the quarterback position. So let's talk about rushing and the rushing attack here for the Patriots. Now, I had mentioned earlier that the Patriots and the Eagles, they have a very similar rushing structure. They've got a 3-headed, even a 4-headed monster, if you will, for running backs. So looking at the Patriots, their starter is Deion Lewis. Now, this year, Lewis, in 8 games started, 16 games overall, he got nearly 900 yards on the ground, averaging 5 yards per carry. Lewis last year had an elevated role, but had some fumble troubles at the end of the year that cost him his job during the beginning of this season, but he really picked it up in the second half, which explains why, yes, he had 8 games started, but nearly got 900 yards on the ground. Then you've got Mike Gillisley. Unfortunately, Gillisley not a part of this Super Bowl due to an injury he sustained back in Week 9, but still, 383 yards, averaging 3.7 a carry. The other two running backs we will be seeing, and we did see in that AFC Championship game. First, we've got Rex Burkhead. Now, Burkhead came over via free agency. He left the Bengals after having an amazing second half of his season there. That's how he got the job with the Patriots. Now, this season for Burkhead, 264 rushing yards, 254 receiving yards in 10 games total, 3 games started. So something interesting, I know a lot of people probably recognize Burkhead's name because he became very popular near the end of the year in regards to fantasy football and waiver wire pickups. Personally, I even picked him up and he did very well for me. But as far as a presence goes, this is a guy who is similar to a Danny Woodhead, another former Patriot. A good running back, a guy who will get some carries, but more known for his pass-catching abilities. And then finally, we've got James White. Now, White this year, not known to be that potent of a rusher. 171 yards, averaged around 4 yards a carry, so not bad. But as far as receiving goes, he led all of the running backs I just mentioned in receiving yards with 429 and receptions with 56. White is known to be more of the third down back, and we should see him playing that exact same role in Super Bowl 52. Moving on to the receivers. This year's leading receiver for the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, who happens to be the tight end, 1,084 yards, 69 receptions. Now, unfortunately, Gronkowski sustaining a hit to the head in that game versus the Jaguars. He came out, he was questionable to return at first, he ended up not returning due to concussion protocol. The question and the major storyline will be, will he be able to return? Now, knowing how concussions go, they're usually evaluated on a week-to-week basis. The good thing is the Super Bowl comes a week after the Pro Bowl, which is coming this weekend. So Gronk has 2 weeks to get better for this Super Bowl. And with that in mind, hopefully barring any unforeseen circumstances, we should see him play, and that will be a big upgrade for the New England offense. Then we look at actual receivers. We've got Brandon Cooks, whom the Patriots got in a trade with the New Orleans Saints over the offseason, and that has turned out to pay very good dividends. Cook, 65 receptions, 1,082 yards. He is the true number one on this team. Now, I know Amendola has stepped up and has really done well in these past postseason games, but as far as true number one goes, from day one, it is Brandon Cooks, and he will play a role. Then it's Danny Amendola himself, 659 receiving yards, 61 catches during the season. And you can tell by that amount of catches comparing to the amount of yards, he is not known to be a deep threat. More of a short pass guy, 10 to 12 yard spurts. And that's what he did for Brady this past weekend in the AFC Championship game. And that is what he has been doing all season long. And then finally, Chris Hogan. Hogan only played in 9 games, has been often injured, but still had 429 receiving yards and 56 catches. He will most likely serve as the number 3 receiver here in the Super Bowl. Now, the offense is all nice and great. They have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. They have a 3-headed monster at the running back position and very capable wide receivers. However, here is where the Patriots will get burned, and that is on defense. The Patriots this year, as far as protecting against the pass, 30th in the league. The only two teams behind them, the New York Giants, whom we all know did horrible, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team who failed to meet their own lofty expectations heading into the season. The Patriots this year, on average, gave up 251 passing yards per game. So think about that for a moment, let that stew. Then look at the Patriots and their rushing defense. 20th in all of football, they gave up a total of over 1,800 yards, nearly 115 given up per game. Putting all those pieces together, you're going to tell me that the Patriots defense is even close to being good. It's not. And although we are getting a bit off topic here, I would love to know how these stats that I just mentioned ended up helping defensive coordinator Matt Patricia even get a job offer with the Detroit Lions. That's something else that just baffles me. Of course, that's another conversation for another time, but thinking about these stats and comparing them to the Eagles, it's a joke. The Eagles have a way better defense, actually one of the best in the game. They have 2 primetime players, both Pro Bowlers, and the Patriots can't even produce 1 Pro Bowler on their defensive unit. So knowing this, keeping all of it in mind, let's compare each team one more time, recap a bit, and then make a final decision. So at the quarterback position, although Nick Foles is riding the hot hand, and the Eagles are doing very well with him, you cannot discount the greatness of Tom Brady, and therefore, the Patriots have a major advantage at the quarterback position. Looking at running backs, very similar teams. Again, you have the Eagles, Clement, Blunt, and Ajayi, and then you have the Patriots with White, Lewis, and Burkett. Thinking about what each back name brings to the table, thinking about how similar both teams employ their running game, I have to say that there is no advantage. That is a dead tie. And in my opinion, it's all going to come down to how the Eagles employ Jay Ajayi. Ajayi, again, former Pro Bowler, did very well with the Dolphins last season, and since coming to Philadelphia, has done amazing, again, averaging over 5 yards per carry. So the way in which the Eagles decide to use him, the way in which they want him to get going early, and how he responds to all of that will determine if the Eagles will be able to win this game. Looking at receivers, as crazy as it sounds, I feel like the Eagles have an advantage, and here's why. They have sheer depth, and that's the difference between them and the Patriots. Sure, you could talk about how the Patriots have Cooks and Amendola, but after them, there's really nothing. Hogan, as I mentioned, injury prone, and although he did play in the AFC Championship game, was a non-factor. Behind Hogan, the next leading receiver is the running back James White. For the Eagles, you've got Alshon Jeffrey, former Pro Bowler, former superstar, and most importantly, former Bears player. Then you've got Nelson Aguilar, a proven deep threat, a guy who has 768 receiving yards. He's right by Alshon Jeffrey. And then Torrey Smith to round it out, he was a former number one on the 49ers. Those are three very good wide receivers. Then you're thinking about Zach Ertz at the tight end position, a Pro Bowler. For the Patriots, although you do have Brandon Cooks, and by the way, he is one of the best receivers in the game, in my opinion. The problem the Patriots are going to have is, number one, will Gronk play? And if he does, then okay, there's another formidable wide receiver. And after him, you've got Amendola, who, yes, has been doing very well, but again, a guy who is injury prone. And then behind him is Hogan. So I feel like the Eagles have more depth, and because of that, I'm going to give them a slight, a very slight, advantage when it comes to the receiving core. And then finally on defense, it's a no-brainer. The Eagles, one of the top five defenses in football. The Patriots, 30th against defending the pass, 20th in the league against defending the rush. So putting all of that together, what is my final prediction? Well, if you've been counting, if you've been keeping score at home, you have noticed that I have given the Eagles more advantages. Here's one thing, though. Again, the Patriots have Tom Brady. Brady was able to come back last year against the Falcons. He came back against the Jags here in the AFC Championship. And because of his sheer experience, because of the fact that he's played in over 36 postseason games, I unfortunately have the Patriots winning this game by a final score of 28-21. Now, as crazy as this sounds, I hope I'm actually wrong with my prediction. I hope the Eagles could come back and win this game, because I feel like it's time for a new team to finally get crowned Super Bowl champion. I'm sick of seeing the Patriots continuing to win, and again, you can't hate on them. They're a great team, great organization. They've been playing the right way. They're getting guys that fit their system, but I am just sick of seeing the Patriots win it year in and year out, and I want a new team to come out on top. It'd be awesome to see Nick Foles win a Super Bowl, because number one, that would cement his status as becoming a bona fide starting quarterback for next year, and number two, that would also prove that he still has something left in the tank. So, keeping all of this in mind, as a fan, of course, I'd love to see the Eagles win, but as a realist and as a journalist, I'm going to have to pick the New England Patriots. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He began his journalism career in the late 1980s as a freelance reporter for the Chicago Tribune. By 2004, he had joined the NFL Network, appearing on NFL Total Access, while also writing for NFL.com. In 2009, he joined ESPN as an NFL analyst and reporter. To this day, he has been named Sports Illustrated Media Person of the Year and USA Today's Best Sports Insider. He also hosts a podcast on ESPN.com featuring various guests from the football world. Please welcome Adam Schefter to the show. Adam, how are you doing today, and thank you for being here on the show.
Thank you for having me, John.
So, first off, I'd like to get your opinion on what happened this past weekend, seeing the Patriots and the Eagles advance to the Super Bowl. Now, looking at the Patriots, they made yet another amazing comeback in the playoffs, this time against Jacksonville. Now, is their ability to get back into games due to their knack for simply making the comebacker itself, or does it have to do with their opponents blowing games? I mean, the Jags, they only scored 6 points in the second half. They took a knee with 55 seconds left in the second quarter, so different factors here. What's your take?
Well, I would say this, John, that the New England dynasty stands on its own. It's been a tremendous run for that organization. They've done a tremendous amount of good things, and they have had a knack of pulling out these games all along. But the fact of the matter is that Jacksonville also didn't do anything to win that game at the end. And I think when you ask that question, as is the case in any game, it's a combination of factors. Usually a team makes plays, and another one doesn't. And we're making it very simplistic, but that's the truth of the matter here, is New England has made a ton of plays over a long period of time to win all the games and championships that it has, and other teams have failed to put them away when they've had the chance.
So, to follow up, I want to shift gears, go to the NFC. The Eagles won their first NFC championship in a blowout against the Miracle Vikings. Now, Nick Foles performed well once again, showing signs of his 2013 form. Has Foles set himself up for another chance to start somewhere in the NFL, especially looking at how many teams need quarterbacks? And also, could this run have happened, though, without the heroics of Carson Wentz during the season?
Right. Listen, I think Nick Foles is in a great role right now, and if he gets an opportunity to start, more power to him. But the fact of the matter is, we've got an offseason this year that's going to be one of the most interesting and intriguing that the NFL has ever had in terms of quarterback movement. There are any number of quarterback free agents. There are teams that will be drafting them in a quarterback-rich draft. And usually, in every single offseason, the demand for quarterbacks out exceeds the supply of quarterbacks. This is one of the rare and unusual offseasons where the supply of quarterbacks available might exceed the demand.
So, with the Super Bowl coming up on February 4th and comparing both teams, I noticed two important things about this game coming up. Now, first, you've got the Patriots' defense, and in my eyes at least, they do not even compare to strength and success sustained by the Eagles on defense. Now, will this be a roadblock for the Patriots, especially when having to defend against three quality backs and prominent receivers like Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Agholor?
Every game poses different challenges, John. And in this particular case, the Eagles have a variety of weapons that the Patriots are going to have to prepare for. I think the Patriots are going to have to figure out a way to shut down the Eagles' run game, first and foremost. That's the most important thing here. I think it starts there. And, of course, if they can do that, then obviously you try to take away the receivers. But they've got Jay Ajayi, they've got LeGarrette Blount, they've got Corey Clement. They've got a lot of backs that can beat you, and I think that's where New England's focus will be right now.
Now, you've talked about the running game. Speaking of the running game, of course, Blount, Ajayi, and Clement for Philadelphia. But I don't know if you've noticed this. It seems pretty similar, though, between the Patriots and the Eagles, because the Patriots, rather, they have Lewis, White, and Burkhead. Each team has three backs, and they all run certain specialties. Who has the advantage here? Systems are very similar.
Whoever runs the football better on Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, nobody's got an advantage here right now. They both have good backfields and capable backs, and we'll see what they can do on Sunday. And then if you ask me that question at the Super Bowl, I'll be able to answer that better.
So I wanted to shift gears for a moment, talk about the Chicago Bears. Now, obviously, the team has made some drastic coaching changes. They hired Matt Nagy as their new head coach. Hiring Nagy was a bit concerning for me, considering that he was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid, an offensive guru in his own right. So what are your thoughts on the hiring of Nagy, and can he first lead the Bears to a playoff appearance, and second, help develop Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, that's why they hired him, to develop Mitchell Trubisky, because he's very good with quarterbacks, and they believe in his tutelage with quarterbacks, and they think that they'll have a wonderful effect on Trubisky. So if he does have that effect, and Trubisky grows into the quarterback the Bears hope and think he can be, and if Trubisky's playing at that level, then it only stands to figure that the Bears would be competing for a playoff spot. You know, here's a guy, I think, that had a very strong reputation around the league. He's learned under Andy Reid. He called plays this year. Those guys are hard to find, and they believe that he's going to work with the quarterback very well. He's a good family man, man of honor, man of integrity. There are a lot of good attributes, which is why the Chicago Bears were drawn to hiring him.
So, speaking of the Bears and speaking of Trubisky, rather, they did not really have a very good option for him in regards to wide receivers. So, who do you think the Bears will be targeting via free agency, via the draft, or both?
I would say the answer to that is both. And, again, this draft will have a number of receivers. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears used their first-round pick on Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver from Alabama. It's a logical fit, but you obviously want to go with the best player available. And whether they come up with wide receivers in the draft or free agency or trade, which you did not mention, they must address that position. It was too shorthanded last year, too talent deficient, and I know the Bears will address it. I don't know who yet, but they will address it.
So I wanted to shift gears one more time, talk about your amazing journalism career, both in print and on air. I would love to hear the backstory behind you getting involved in sports journalism. How did you become the recognizable figure that we all know today?
Well, that's kind of you to say. I appreciate saying that. And you know, I don't think of it that way. I just think of it just kind of grinding away every single day, trying to do my job. Basically started out as a newspaper reporter back in my Michigan days, going for the student newspaper, and went to Denver, Colorado, spent 15-plus years covering the Denver Broncos and the NFL. Was fortunate enough to meet a lot of great people, a lot of people who helped me along the way. Did some television and radio on the side. One thing led to another. It was sort of accidental. Got hired at NFL Network. Worked there 5 years, and now I've been fortunate enough to be at ESPN for 9. Again, I've been around some great people that have helped me. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. I've been very fortunate. It's almost the accidental career, and I guess it's just one of those things that if you do something long enough and you just keep working hard, that you hope that some good things will happen.
On a final note, interestingly enough, back when Alshon Jeffrey had left the Bears free agency, via free agency, news came out that before he signed his contract with the Eagles, he called you to crunch some numbers and give him some advice. So my final question is Adam Schefter going to become the next powerhouse agent in the NFL?
Well, that's not exactly true. We had a phone conversation, and I was just apprising him of the wide receiver market, just like I would apprise any other coach or GM or agent or anybody who happened to get into contact with me. And it, you know, there's a backstory behind it, and so it was nothing more than that. And I think it got overstated, but that's neither here nor there. And he made a great decision. He went to Philadelphia. I'm very content in my job. I'm not looking to do anything different. He's done a great job this year in Philadelphia. Credit to Alshon Jeffrey, and we'll see how he and the Eagles fare in Super Bowl 52.
Awesome. Adam, thank you so much for being here on the show. I really appreciate you taking your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me, John. I appreciate it, and good luck to you on your podcast and in your burgeoning journalistic career.
Thank you. It was such an honor to have Adam Schefter on. Adam, thank you again for being here on the show, and great talk there about the Super Bowl and about the Bears. Well, that'll do it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you again for listening. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter at Chi Talk Sports. Hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags. And make sure to tune into the Super Bowl on February 4th. Thank you all again for listening. Have a great day.